venturing into space, we should become more acquainted with the planet we live on. Four young and fearless Americans, children of the space age, armed with cameras, microphones, and curiosity. Alan Yates, a director famous for his documentaries on Vietnam and Africa.
Faye Daniels, his girlfriend and stripper.
And their two cameramen and inseparable friends, Jack Anders and Mark DeMoss. Four youngsters who never came back.
But let's have a look at them at the beginning of their incredible adventure.
Here at the border between Brazil and Peru, they are about to board a plane that will take them to the Rio Ocor, the last outpost from which they will continue on foot, deep into the Amazon jungle, into the area known as
I think you as a DJ, and I've seen actually this when looking on your social media, you love performing in front of the people. You love that energy. And just also because you were an attendee, you were a party goer. I think that collective energy, what you were mentioning in the beginning of the interview, is important for you. So how did actually COVID-19 affected you from that perspective? What do you miss the most?
I mean, for me, this is like a total defeat, to be honest, because I really believe in human interaction. And I really believe in the, as we said, in the healing aspects of this collective experience, and in the healing aspects of hugs and kisses and human touch, which is not something that you have to believe in this like spiritual or religious sense. It's like a scientific, it's a scientific fact, very well researched. So for me to live in a world where all of these things are dangerous and presented as life-threatening, and I mean, I can already see the shift in my own consciousness, seeing movies and TV shows. And then like the other night I was watching The Sopranos and I realized the two guys are getting really like close to each other, and I started like panicking, and they didn't wear masks.
I know what you mean.
I have the feeling like my brain is completely reprogrammed. So this is not a comfortable reality for me, to be honest. And I am someone, as you said, who experienced this healing potential of musical events in the times of major crisis. But these were different crises. This is a different idea, you know, metaphysically speaking. You know, if you have a war, the enemy is visible. So you know that
exactly.
A threat is like a bomb, and a threat is maybe another person who's pointing a gun at you. It's material. And then with the virus, you know, the threat is abstract and it's unknown and it's very unpredictable. So it's, it's very hard to form some sort of a, like a rational attitude towards this, because really, like, to live a life without normal and healthy human contact is, I think for many people, really, like, you know, mind bending, and it's very hard to accept. And on the other hand, you're fighting with your, like, feeling of guilt that you might infect someone, or, yes, you know, even fear that you get infected.
It's very strange, actually.
Yeah, it's very strange. And of course, this kind of abstract nature of the virus itself and the abstract nature of everything around us leaves a lot of space for manipulation, which I guess everyone is aware of right now, like political manipulation and, you know, propaganda of all sorts. I think it's very, very confusing. And I can see a lot of people are really, like, losing their minds.
So yeah. How do you stay sane? What do you do to kind of keep sane in these times?
I don't do much to stay sane, to be honest. And I mean, I also had I had a personal drama on my own, which was really beyond the whole COVID thing. My mother suddenly got sick and she died within 6 weeks. And this was all happening in, like, Corona Serbia in May and June this year. And these were really, like, the worst months.
Very sorry to hear this.
I mean, maybe now it's even worse. I don't really know. But the whole, like, Corona thing affects the healthcare system a lot. And not only in Serbia, but also worldwide.
Everywhere.
People who have certain chronic illnesses are not getting their treatments on time. They're not getting checkups. The surgeries are not being performed and all of that. And all of this actually contributed to the outcome that my mother's illness had. So she's a kind of a COVID victim that never became COVID infected. It was just like, the side effect of this whole systematic response, yes, to COVID, which is also very questionable. And a lot of doctors are opposing it. I mean, what I've heard from the doctors around that time is that they have way more victims of, like, people being ill from other illnesses than, like, Corona. But yeah, I mean, this whole family tragedy, I can't even say it, that we went through is something that was much bigger, and it happened in the global crisis. So I had to deal with personal stuff first. The global crisis affected it a lot because, you know, when you have someone dear to you dying, then one of the ways to overcome it is to go back to normal life. But there is no normal life for me anymore because everything I lived before that doesn't exist. I mean, I had my job, I had my routine, I was, you know, working on music, working on stuff, doing my whatever accounting and, everyday stuff, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then I would go and work on weekends, travel maybe sometimes even from Thursday till Tuesday. And that was my routine and that was my job. But now I can't go back to that. I can't go back to my own personal normal because it's been taken away from me. My profession is literally canceled. The profession of a DJ, in a sense that it existed before, it doesn't exist now. Luckily, I could, you know, survive without having to find a new job urgently and having to redefine my profession. So my only way of, like, coping with this whole global situation and keeping my sanity is really by just, like, keeping a low profile, doing the best I can, not expecting much, and just waiting for all of it to pass and letting myself feel whatever I feel and live through all these emotions, which are quite intense. And yeah, that's the best thing I can do, you know. But I also, I mean, you know what we went through in Serbia. Yes. So I think people from a country like Serbia, I mean, not Serbia only. I mean, you have a lot of people from Middle East, a lot of people from Asia, from ex-USSR countries, from Eastern Europe. All of us, we're all, like, people from South America, Africa. All of us, we're actually trained to live in this
survivor, like, mode.
Surviving mode, yeah. It's like an ongoing crisis that we were born in, and, like, we lived through it. And this is the only difference now, which makes it at the same time easier but also harder, is that it's global. Because when we had crisis only in Serbia or in the Balkans, I always had certain hopes that somewhere out there, there's a world that's different, yes, there's a world that's better, there's a world that's healthier, there's a world of opportunities. Nowadays, wherever you look, it's same
everywhere.
And sometimes being in a smaller country, in a smaller environment, somewhere where you can get, you know, like locally grown food much easier is maybe even better. Or if you live in a city which is not so big, and when you're not so consumed by this metropolitan life in these times in the year 2020, and I'm pretty much sure in 2021, it's actually somehow better.
Denke dran, das Radio mache ich nicht gratis. Deswegen zahle doch ein unter dem Konto 01-60-148-9. Wenig verdienende 60 Franken pro Jahr, die anderen 120 oder mehr. Spenden sind immer willkommen. Einzahlungsschein könnt ihr beziehen unter der Telefonnummer 044 567 24 11 oder unter info@lora.ch.
Hi, it's Tiana T, and you're listening to Gimme a Beat.
What you were saying before, during the crisis we went through, we had this community, we had a human connection, like a real human connection. I think the only way to establish now the community is actually to do it through, no matter what people think about the technology, it does allow us to actually have a community and contact with others. That's the only way to actually really connect to the people through the video calls, through live performances that you had few. I know it's not enough, but I feel that at least we have that. Because as you said, there is no other world where things are better. Maybe on Mars, but we wouldn't know because we didn't get
where
there
things
yet.
Are possible. I mean, there are certain countries, actually, I have to say, this is something that not many people in mainstream European or US or the so-called Western media is talking or writing about. But there are certain countries in Asia that really like managed to overcome.
I know.
COVID crisis, and I actually have quite a number of friends who live in Thailand, they live in Vietnam, they live in Bali, some of them live in China, some are in Japan, some are in Korea. And when I see their Instagram profiles, they have parties, they have events, they're even already announcing festivals for December and January. So it's not really like the whole world, you know.
It's not really the whole world, but they had to go through the phase where they were very disciplined to overcome that.
Not all of them. I think it's just some, like, different countries had different measures, and obviously different countries had different numbers, because at certain places it's really warm, so the infection rate is obviously lower because the temperature, like the air temperature, is really high, and then obviously the virus does, I mean, it does live in higher temperatures, but not so high, and it's not as big as in, you know, wintertime.
That's
so
not fully confirmed, you know, it's yes and no. I think it's a mix of things, yeah.
It's a mix of things, so each country had like a different context of why.
No, I know, but there was a mix of things that worked for them. I mean, mm-hmm. many of the countries had to shut down, at least to the outside world. I mean, Bali and Thailand had to shut down for a while in order to kind of handle it. And now they can also even open for outside mm-hmm. world. There was a level of one moment they had to be disciplined to overcome it. And I think that works much better in Asian countries in general, that kind of a discipline. Than actually in the rest of the world.
Yeah, I mean, like, Europeans are really spoiled in many ways, and
Americans as well, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't understand the severity of the situation. But yeah, I mean, as you said, I can agree with that, and it's good that we have at least like this online virtual community, and it's good that the music scene and the music itself and certain figures and players in the scene are continuing to work and to maintain, you know, the memory of the music, of the scene itself. But I have to disagree with the fact that this is some sort of human connection. It's not. I mean, I did a few of these streams, and I'm not opposing it, and I want to share music with people whenever I can, And to be 100% honest with you, it's also some of these streams are paid. So this was also my only way
of
earning something. But I also wanted to do it because, I just want to help. I mean, it's also like for some people, it's a way to like keep on going. They can only survive in like economic sense if they do something online. And then once the things are back, if they're ever back, they still have their profile. But all of these streams actually left me so tired and so exhausted. I never, literally never felt this exhausted when I played in front of a real audience. Sometimes my travels were sometimes very intense. You know, I would travel for like 24 hours from God knows where to somewhere in South America with, you know, one plane, another plane, then a small private plane that gets us somewhere in the middle of the desert. And then we take like a terrain vehicle to get to the stage because the festival is in the middle of the desert. And then I go on stage after like 30 hours of traveling and not sleeping. And I'm immediately in front of the audience, like 10,000 people, and I have to deliver. And even like this kind of exhaustion, this kind of activity never made me feel as tired as I did doing the streams. And doing a stream means I leave my house, I take a taxi, and after like 15 minutes ride, I'm somewhere and I'm doing a stream in front of no one or like a few cameras or a few people behind the camera. And I can only explain it because, you know, when you do things live, then there's an actual interaction and then there's actual exchange. So
I know exactly what you mean. It's very important. I mean, this is what I felt when I was DJing, and this is what I feel when I'm on a live gigs. It can be a DJ gig, it can be live performance. There is an energy that it's exchanged, and that energy requires two sides. You cannot exchange, I think, this energy through the live stream because you don't get anything back. So what you are doing, you are actually giving, and you are not feeling that crowd collective energy coming, you know, bouncing off the audience and coming back to you. It's simple that.
That's the whole idea of DJing, actually. Exactly. You know, I mean, all of these things are being talked about and discussed for years and years, for like decades already, since the DJing exists. And this is like the philosophy of this whole phenomena of this scene. And DJ is really more like a medium. So I see it like DJ is someone who has to work on his or her craft. So you need to learn a lot. You need to learn how to use your instruments, your machines, or your turntables, or your mixers. You need to know. It's the same like being a classically trained musician. You need to like practice all the time, and you need to know how to play the instruments. The instruments are not a violin or a guitar. Totally. They are some other form of instruments. Then you need to also have a selection of music. You need to know your music really well, and it's always good if you like know exactly what you're doing and if you have a variety of music that you can choose from. And then you come with all this knowledge. It's more like a computer, you know. You come as a computer that can perform, that has like certain abilities to perform, but also has a database with yes, all this music. And then as a computer, you like plug into the external input. So you get input from that audience. And not
absolutely,
only audience, it's not only people, it's also
the room, whole thing. Yes.
Yeah, it's the sound system, it's the way that the you know, the acoustics of the room is working, or the outside.
I also feel it's even the staff that set up, you know, that
Or is it like a small club or a big festival? Is it a daytime event, nighttime event? Is it the beginning of the night? Is it the sunrise? Or is it like in the middle of the night? All of these things, they play a certain role. So these are all the inputs that you as a DJ take in, and you process that within your machine, within your computer. And then like you process all the information that you gathered from the outside, you combine it with your database that you have, which is music, with the skills that you have, the ability to play, and then you just perform this task and you just give back. So then you give it back, and then the audience receives it, the room receives it, the whole vibe receives it, and then they give you back, they send you back the feedback. And then you process it again, and then you give the feedback back, and this is the whole circle, this is the loop. And this is what creates...
And this is what you were missing.
This is why I was feeling so tired, because I didn't get my fuel. I didn't get my food. It's like living and working while you're hungry.
Exactly.
You know, like living without food. I mean, of course I can perform, and of course I have my skills and my abilities, and I have my music, but it's just like giving without getting.
And then it just stops. It's like, that's it. I can imagine after the gigs, you're probably usually pumped up, right? If you're you're like shut down.
I just did a couple of streams in Berlin just a few weeks ago.
I saw it, yeah.
You know, I had at the first stream, I had a couple of friends with me and my agent, and then the stream is over and we couldn't even go and have dinner together. We could just like go to our individual homes and that's it. And you really feel like weird after all of that, because you want to exchange something. And yeah, that's the problem. And after the second stream, I felt like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown, because I just went home and I felt so lonely and so tired and just so lost and confused, because it's just like a lot of elements are missing, this whole puzzle. But sometimes, as I said, even if I was exhausting myself with travels and jet lags and not sleeping properly and running around literally like around the planet, if after the set I would come to my hotel room and I wouldn't be able to sleep because my adrenaline was so
high. Because you were pumped up.
From all the energy that I received, and now this is not happening.
This part of an interview was very deep, I believe, touched on some very personal topics and how the COVID-19 pandemic affected Tiana, not just professionally, but personally. I think pandemic is affecting all of us in a very intense and in a strange way. For me, I haven't been affected that bad professionally due to flexibility of my job and possibility to work from home. But unfortunately, personally, I had a very heavy and tough times. Luckily, it all